He's our Lord. He's not only our Savior, our Lord. Can we have an amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians, just reminding us of who truly Christ is, not only our Savior, but the Lord of our life. We thank you for the reading of your word, and we ask a blessing upon Craig as he delivers the message that you've laid on his heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jeff. Well, this morning we are going to take a very straightforward look at this passage. I'll start just by telling you I have some very important information for you. This is information I think it's vital that every single one of us have. I will tell you that it is not new information. You know this already, but I feel burdened to remind you of this information right now. Here it is. You will die. One day, you will die. That has been the history of every single person that has ever walked this earth, and it will be for you. I'm sorry, but that's the reality of it. It is a fact of this world, and there is nothing that you can do within yourself to change that fact. It is an absolute. It is an absolute. Now, having said that, there are some of you students of the Bible, you're thinking of a future exception to that rule, or maybe one or two historical exceptions to that rule. But those were exceptions and are exceptions, I will tell you, by the power of God, not man. So, there is no man. There is no man who can ever change the absolute fact that you will die. You will die. And in our passage today, I bring that up. It's because our passage today is a very, very sobering passage. And so I wanted to start out with another sobering message to you, a piece of information for you. But our passage today contains another absolute that I think is important for every single person to know and understand. All right, our passage today really is a simple one. There are a lot of different directions I thought about going with this passage, but really it says what it says, and that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. The message is a simple one. There are no difficult to understand doctrines in this passage. There are no real disputes as to what this passage is talking about. There are really no disagreements among students of the Bible as to what this passage means. It is simple. It is straightforward. It is easy to understand, and it is seriously sobering. Seriously sobering. Again, this too, what we're going to look at is information. Information that is very important for every single person to understand. Information, I might add, that is all too often neglected. It's information that is ignored. It's information that is disbelieved, and I might even say it's information that is disbelieved by unbelievers and some believers. But here is the absolute summary, all right? Here's what this passage is telling us. Everyone will bow to and confess Jesus is Lord. Everyone will do that someday. There will come a day when every person who has ever lived will know. There will be no more doubts, no more guessing. It is an absolute. Everyone will know Jesus is Lord. And they will be held accountable according to what they do with that absolute fact. However, in pride, pride is the enemy. Pride is the essence of sin, okay? In pride, many have disbelieved, ignored, and neglected that absolute fact. The Pharisees of Jesus' day called him Satan, said he was insane, mocked his kingship. The world-renowned philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche infamously said, God is dead. He believed science had disproved him. He also said that he thought Jesus was insane. The world-renowned philosopher Ayn Rand said that the love that Jesus taught was immoral because it puts love of others ahead of self-love, and she believed selfish pride was a virtue. The world-renowned evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins says that belief in a personal God, belief in Jesus, is harmful, irrational, and delusional. He too puts his faith in popular science. The world-renowned astronomer Carl Sagan saw God as simply a metaphor for the awe-inspiring, lawful nature of the universe. He believed in evolution over God. Comedian Kathy Griffin, upon receiving an Emmy Award, made it a point to curse Jesus and call her Emmy her God. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias convinced women that having sex with him is doing the Lord's work. Pastor Robert Morris was found guilty of years of having sex with minors in his church. Pastor Carl Lentz resigned in 2020amid numerous reports of affairs with a number of different women. Listen, everybody, regardless of who they are, will one day bow to Jesus as Lord and be held accountable for the things they have done. In Hebrews 4:13, we are plainly told there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. I got to tell you, this is what makes what Jesus has done for us so important. But one more verse here. Revelation 19:16, Jesus on his robe, it says he had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in our passage today, we are given that absolute exactly. Everyone will one day bow to and confess that Jesus is Lord. Everyone. However, again, pride, many have disbelieved, ignored, and neglected that absolute fact. Perhaps even us, in a moment of sinful desire, turned a blind eye to that fact. So by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul really, in no uncertain terms, states this absolute as a wake-up call. Now, in the context of our passage, it is geared toward believers, who are perhaps having those moments or maybe even a pattern of life that ignores and neglects that fact. And he rather instructs them to live in humility and submission to the Jesus name, to the name of Jesus, excuse me. But because this is an absolute for everyone, okay, that's the slant that I want to take this morning. That's how we're going to address this passage this morning. Our subject is the name of Jesus. This is a message for the prideful. It's a message for those who think they have it all figured out. It's a message, a warning really to those of us who turn a blind eye to the Lord at times. It is a message indeed for everyone, especially those who are prideful. And so we are given in this passage, again, it's very, very straightforward, but three interconnected absolutes. Three interconnected absolutes concerning the name of Jesus. We're looking at Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. And the very first absolute that we find there is this. Every name is below his name. Every name is below his name. It's a good reminder for us because there have been a lot of famous and powerful names in this world. There have been a lot of names that many have looked up to. There have been names even that many have worshipped. Buddha, Muhammad, Alexander the Great struck fear into the hearts of the world. Nero struck fear into the hearts of the world, even along with many of the Caesars of Rome considered themselves gods. Charles Darwin instigated the greatest movement to taint the world against God in modern times. Even before his presidency, bringing this into modern times here, before his presidency, Trump was the most recognized name in the world. Today, most of us would be hard-pressed to find people who don't know the name Putin, or Xi, or Marcon, or Bibi. There are others whose own name is synonymous with worldwide fame. Henry Ford, Ferrari, Disney, McDonald's, Walmart, huge names, world-renowned names, brands like Meta, Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, Google, world-renowned, that so many of these names appear to control much in the world. But I bring them all up, I name them because they are nothing compared to the name of Jesus. Every name, every brand, no matter what it is nothing compared to the name of Jesus. They are all below it. And get this, while every name that I just mentioned is built on pride, Jesus is different. Jesus, his name was exalted because of his humility. Look at verse 9. It says, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. And whenever we find that word therefore in Scripture, we need to find out what it's there for. Maybe you've heard that saying before. But therefore, wherefore is a word that really it introduces an effect of a previously addressed cause. What was the cause of Jesus' exaltation? Well, the previous verses, the verses that we looked at last time we were here in Philippians, we saw the humility of Jesus. The previous verses in which we saw Jesus humble himself by willingly leaving his eternal throne in heaven, willingly giving up the independent use of his godly attributes to come to earth as a mere human being. And not only as a mere man, but a servant to man. Even to the degree of dying on the cross for the sins of man. That is humility. That is why Jesus' name is above every other name. That is why every name is below his. It's a demonstration of God's love. He is a demonstration of God's love for us. You see, imperfection cannot live in God's perfect heaven. And therefore, you and I, we are disqualified. One sin makes us imperfect. Death and eternal separation from God is the price of imperfection. It's what we deserve. However, Jesus humbled himself, came to earth as a man, a servant to man, living the perfect sinless life so that he could die and pay the price for our sins. He's the only one valuable enough to do that. He is God in human flesh. And he humbled himself to become the only answer to our sin problem. And that is why every name is below his. Nobody else can do that for you. Nobody. Not Buddha, not Muhammad. You name the religious leader, they can't do it. Only Jesus can. And so trusting in Jesus is the only solution. In John 5:24, Jesus himself communicates, most assuredly, or truly, truly, this is the end all here. This is it. He says, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. That is what the name of Jesus is famous for. That is why every name is below his. Did you know that? Have you trusted in him? Every name is below his name because God has exalted him. The wording in our passage says that God has raised the name of Jesus to the highest position. And we might ask, didn't he come from heaven? Wasn't his name already the highest? Well, in one sense, yes, he has always been the second person of the Godhead, but he was not always Jesus. That was not always his name. In Matthew 1:21, it's where we first are introduced to the name Jesus. It says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You see, he became Jesus when he humbled himself and became a man who would live a sinless and perfect life in accord with the will of God so that he could serve mankind and die as the payment for their sin. In Mark 10:45, Jesus there says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Romans 3:24 and 25 speaking of the many, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood. Because of His humility, God has highly exalted the name of Jesus above every other name. Above Muhammad, above Buddha, above Alexander the Great, above Nero, above Trump, above Google, above Apple, above Ford, above Craig, above Bill, above Linda. I'll stop. Every name is below His name. It is an absolute. Here's the second part of our absolute. Every knee will bow to His name. Every knee will bow to His name. Alexander the Great, Nero, Trump, the Pharisees, Friedrich Nietzsche, Ayn Rand, Richard Dawkins, Carl Sagan, Kathy Griffin, Craig, Roberta, Terry, they will all bow before the name of Jesus. Atheist Christopher Hitchens once said, "Anyone who can look me in the eye and say that they prefer the story of Jesus to the life of Socrates is intellectually defective." Christopher Hitchens saw Socrates as more worthy than Jesus. Well, in 2011, at the age of 62, Christopher Hitchens met his maker, and he found himself perhaps right alongside Socrates, not only intellectually defective, but morally defective. And he and Socrates together, if they haven't already, have bowed to the name of Jesus. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. This right here is an all-inclusive statement, and it is describing that every person, no matter who they are, no matter where they are, they will bow. No one is exempt. We'll go through these. First of all, of those in heaven. This speaks of all those who have physically died already, knowing who Jesus is, believing that He died for their sins and are currently in the presence of their Savior in their eternal dwelling place in heaven. Now, just to apply this to us this morning, I do want to include that while we are saved by the work of Jesus Christ, we are, our works are yet held accountable. And there will come a day when Ravi Zacharias, Pastor Robert Morris, Pastor Carl Lentz, Craig, Dylan, Faith, we will have our works tested. We will be held accountable for the things that we've done. And 1 Corinthians 3:13 tells us that each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And for that, we as believers can be thankful for the name of Jesus. We will bow to Him as our Savior. For He is the only one worthy of worship. We will thankfully, willingly, joyfully fall on our knees before the one that loved us enough to give His own life to pay for every one of those failures. Those in heaven will bow and worship the Savior. That day is coming. It is an absolute. It continues, it says, of those on earth. And this speaks of every person that is yet walking this earth, whether they know Jesus or not, whether they have received His gift of salvation or not, whether they are a child of God or not. They will one day bow before the name of Jesus. Donald Trump, Richard Dawkins, Tom Cruise, Howard Stern, Kathy Griffin, Barack Obama, Vladimir Putin, Robert Morris, Craig, Rick, Beth. Those who are on the earth will, it is an absolute, will one day bow to the name of Jesus. And then it says of those under the earth. This speaks of all those who have physically died not knowing or believing who Jesus is and what He has done for them through His payment on the cross. Under the earth refers to the dead. Perhaps even more specifically refers to those who are in Hades, which the Bible implies are under the earth. And there will come a day when every single one of them will bow before their judge and be sentenced to an eternity in the lake of fire. John 5:22, Jesus said, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." In John 12:48, Jesus said, "He rejects Me and does not receive My words, has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." In Revelation 20:13-14, it says, "The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades were delivered up, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." In no uncertain terms, what we're reading right here in Philippians, in no uncertain terms, every name is below Jesus' name, and every knee will bow to His name. And then here's the last absolute. Every tongue will confess His name. Every tongue will confess His name. Atheist Richard Dawkins once mocked Jesus and Christians, saying, "Remember to always sin, otherwise Jesus died for nothing." Friedrich Nietzsche considered Jesus mentally unstable and even a liar, because even he saw that Jesus clearly equated Himself with God. It was C.S. Lewis who made famous the proposition that Jesus was either a liar because He did claim to be God, or He was a lunatic who really believed Himself to be God. But C.S. Lewis proposed one more idea. He said He's either a liar or a lunatic, or He's exactly who He claimed to be and proved to be. He's Lord. He is Lord. And here in our passage, by inspiration of God Himself, Paul says this in verse 11, "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There will come a day when every single person will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. He is, He was exactly who He claimed and proved to be, and every person will come to that realization someday. Richard Dawkins will, Friedrich Nietzsche will, if they haven't already. They will confess Him as Christ and Lord. Richard Dawkins may say, I don't know. Here I am. It's too late. He really did die for my sins, the sins of the whole world. I should not have mocked Him. He is who He said He is. Friedrich Nietzsche may one day confess Jesus was not a liar or a lunatic. He's Lord. If He hasn't already, He will. He will. And it's to the glory of God the Father. He came and did exactly what God had planned for Him from the very fall of man. In all of the Old Testament predictions, it's true. They all pictured exactly who Jesus would be and who He proved to be. Atheism is lunacy. Evolution is a lie. The creation story is true. Jesus is the Creator, Redeemer, Christ, Savior, and Lord to the glory of God the Father. For He planned it all. And every tongue, if it hasn't happened already for particular individuals, it will happen. Every tongue will one day confess that truth. The question is, and this is what I want to end with this morning. The question is, when that time comes for you, when that time comes for you, it will come. There's no question, no uncertain terms here. Whether you believe it or not, it is as sure as death. That time will come. But when that time comes for you, will you bow and confess Him as your Lord and Savior? Or will you bow and confess Him as your Lord and Executioner? Because one way or the other, God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. It is an absolute. There is no getting out of this. You see, we live, the fallacy is, we live in a world of pride. You can say, no, I won't, all you want. But just as sure as you will one day die, you will one day bow and confess Jesus is Lord. We live in a world of pride, a world of arrogance, a world where people flex their worldly power, a world where arrogant people seem to get their way. They seem to have all the power, a world where people get away with evil things all the time and say, see, your God is doing nothing. A world where we think, we even as believers, think we can get away with things. But the end is not yet. Every single one of them, every single one of us will one day bow and confess Jesus is Lord. It is as certain as death itself. But again, our big question is, when that day comes, will you bow and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Or will you bow and confess Jesus as your Lord and Executioner? Hebrews 9:27 and 28 says, "It is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many." In John 5:22, it says, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." John 12:48, Jesus said, "He rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word I have spoken will judge him in the last day." That's one of those "I told you so" verses. You're hearing it right now. Don't wait to discover that Jesus Christ is Lord. Discover it now. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life." Will you believe him now or not? It's simple. It's a yes-no question. Will you trust in him now or not? I'm going to close in prayer here, but I would like everybody to bow your heads, close your eyes, and I want you to spend a few minutes in self-reflection. Bow your heads, close your eyes, self-reflect. In no uncertain terms, there will come a day when you die. And in no uncertain terms, this absolute is just as absolute as the fact that you will die. In no uncertain terms, after you die, you will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And the question again is, will you bow to him as your Savior or as your executioner? And with every eye closed, every head bowed, I want to just encourage you to take a moment of self-reflection. Have you trusted in what Christ has done for you or not? And perhaps more importantly, will you do it right now? Because after you die, it is too late. Will you do it right now? Yes or no? And this is more so that I can be praying for you. But with everybody bowed, every eye closed here, if you have made the decision to trust in Christ this morning, I would ask that you raise your hand. Let me know. I want to know. I want to be praying for you. But if you have done that this morning, will you please raise your hand? Is there anyone like that? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else like that this morning? You've placed your faith in Christ this morning. You will bow to your Savior, to the Lord as Savior, not judge. Thank you very much. Father, we thank you for our time here this morning. We thank you for the gift of salvation given to us by you, a demonstration of your love for us, because you don't want heaven without us. It's not about you not wanting heaven. It's about you wanting us there. You want that, Lord, and we're grateful for that. And I thank you for those who have placed their faith in you this morning, that has trusted in who you are and what you've done. And now they can be assured. Today, as a result of that decision and their trust in you, today, and I forgot what day it is, I wanted to name the day, but it's Sunday. They can know that their eternity is with you as their Savior. Thank you for that this morning, Jesus. We ask your blessing now upon our closing song, the rest of our day, and I want to pray for those who made that decision, Lord, that they would find joy now in being a child of yours, that they would find joy in knowing you as their Savior, their Redeemer, their price payer. Find joy in living a life now, expressing their love in return to you. And it is, in Jesus' name I pray, amen.